Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson RV, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, and Ray Marine Electra.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Outdoor Line of 710 ESPN Seattle, streaming live on MyNorthWest.com. Don't forget about the live video feed on 710Sports.com, and of course, the venerable beat, OutdoorLine.com, with blogs, podcasts, and so much more. Morning, Rob Ensley.
Morning, how you doing, buddy?
Rocking the half-lion lid over there, and we're all, you know, Joey Pyburn. We're Team Vortex Tops, I think, today, right?
This is Browning.
It's a little something from Browning. Yes.
Old school camo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Old school camo. G.I. Joe camo with a kung fu grip. We pulled crab pots yesterday, and they put the kung fu grip on the Mardon duck carcasses. That was hilarious,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, apparently crab love
they,
ducks.
They love ducks.
And you know what I like? I shoot ducks.
Yes.
Well, Robbo and I shoot ducks.
Yeah. And I was, come on.
Waste nothing.
I was there.
Tom shot
a
duck.
There. I got a duck, and then I got a geese. Goose.
And then we use the ducks to catch the crab, and then I eat the crab.
Yeah. It's the circle
of life. It's the cycle of life.
That's crazy.
Exactly. the Joe Pyburn food web. Yeah, exactly. So how the heck you doing, buddy?
Doing great, man. I'm loving this weather here. The snow goose hunters are going to love it today. I know Kevin John, I talked to Kevin up at Holiday Sports yesterday. He was jumping in with Aaron Peterson, Peterson's Northwest Guide Service up there on the north end. Aaron's got a bunch of snow goose land up there, and they were going to hunt snows today, 30 to 40 with gusts to 60. Yeah. So those Cillo socks or dive bombs or whatever that, you know,
they're
whatever.
They're going to be moving.
Oh, yeah.
You know
they
when
might
you're,
be moving
you know when you're,
away. They
you,
might be disappearing.
You know when you're in the blind and it's just calm and the socks are just hanging there doing nothing? And you're like, oh, I wish we had a little wind to get some movement. Yeah. Well, those things are going to be jumping.
Those decoys actually may migrate right back to Wrangell Island with the geese today. So good luck out there, guys. Hopefully it doesn't blow too hard, but it should be a good snow goose reopener here.
Yeah.
We're close for, I think, 12 days. Get another opener here. That gives us a shot later. They're going to have a spring season, February, March kind of a season there for snow.
Those stupid geese forget quick.
They do.
Well, the juveniles do.
Yeah.
The adults certainly don't, but that's going on today. Obviously, we've got a wet and wild weekend going on here on the west side. On the east side, though, it's perfect this week for duck hunting and goose hunting over there. Finally got some cold weather, you know, later in the week. Lows in like 19, 20 degrees overnight, highs in the low 30s. Perfect weather for the east side. The only problem is if you got a little pond, it's probably going to freeze up. But potholes, Moses Lake, all that stuff.
The big water.
Gonna be good. Anything with some flow, Crab Creek, should be really good on the east side. So
I have some great news, though. Absolutely stunning news. We are only 9 days away from the winter solstice. Okay. So then, like in 3 weeks, the days will be starting to get longer. Right? So we'll have this amount of daylight, and then it'll start getting more, like more, right?
There'll so we got
more,
Jason Brooks coming on, 6:25 here. I put him on a
That's fine. I could tell Rob was like, okay, let's move on.
Jason Brooks going to jump on. He's always got a long list of opportunities here. And Lake Chelan, Kokanee, still going. I think it's been going for like 6 years in a row now. It's never stopped, actually.
No.
But stuff going on over there, and then late season hunting opportunities. He's been all over the place here this fall with his kids. He and the boys have had tags everywhere, so he's going to talk about some of that. 7 o'clock, Austin Mosier is roping the Kokanee on the east side.
Big ones.
And sounds like Rufus is starting to light up a little bit with the triploids. None of those big tankers that you guys caught last year, but still some nice rainbows, some nice triploids on the east side.
Austin Mosier is saving those for our arrival.
They're growing right now.
When we get there. Yeah, there's this growth spurt between Christmas and New Year's over there that just is phenomenal.
He's feeding them up right now.
He is, 100%.
He's got them all lined up at the trough, feeding them up right now. 7:25, Brian Lynn from Sportsman's Alliance going to jump on to talk about all this craziness going on with our commission right now, the cancellation of the spring bear hunt, which has, you know, hunters all up in arms right now. Some of this conjecture going on with the Southeast Washington Blue Mountain elk herd and other happenings going on with our Fish and Wildlife Commission. He manages the Sportsman's Alliance. He's kind of the PR guy for the Sportsman's Alliance. He's got his finger on the pulse of all these issues pretty much all over the country.
Yeah,
all
nationally. Nationally, where our focus obviously is, you know, locally here. We need our commission to do the job that they are required to do by law. and not try to issue pronouns to cougars and bears and elk and deer. So, you know.
So, 7:25, Brian's going to jump on. Opportunities right now, crabbing. You guys murdered the crab this week out of Everett. Dave Johnson, Kitsap Marina. Daily pictures of crab coming out of Area 10 down there on the south
end. Yeah, crabbing's good, and there's not a lot of folks out there.
No.
There's a lot of open space.
I wonder why. I wonder why.
Today would be a great day.
Yeah. It was, yesterday was calm, it was cold out there.
But it's straight up
chilly.
Straight up Rob Ensley signature model Gale Craft advisory this morning. I mean, it's 25 to 35. So if you're worried about people pilfering your pots,
probably not.
Go look when the next storm is going to hit. Drop them before the storm and pick them after the storm. And that's definitely going to be the deal. So and honestly, some interesting and good local fishing news.
Steelhead fishing.
Yes.
There's some stuff going on here. Tocal Creek just opened up the full length of Tocal Creek for hatchery steelhead. The Snoqualmie's had some fish in it. Now, we pulled up some of the flows here. We got a pretty good bump in flows coming this weekend. In fact, you pulled up the Bogashiel River out in the Forks area, which has had some steelhead in it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The Bogie and the Kalawa, both of them have had some steelhead in it this past week. Going up like a NASA launch here this morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Straight
dude.
Up. So, you know, we got to wait for that to drop down, obviously. But Skykomish and Snoqualmie have been pretty good, man. There's some opportunity there.
Going to get a little bit of bump of water in the sky. That's always what I looked for. Little bump of water, those fish will slide up there. As soon as it rolls over and starts to drop, even if that water's mudded up, buy some sand shrimp, go up there, and rope your steelhead.
And you guys are delivering sand shrimp all over
the
valley.
We are.
And,
you know, last year, there really was no need. We didn't have any steelhead. And this year, I had guys calling before the season, calling the office, like, hey, is there going to be shrimp this year? So we made sure there's shrimp out there for the guys.
So I'm up early like I usually am. And I think, well, I don't want to wake Joey up, but I'm going to text him anyway. Hey, dude, let's run through that crab gear today. Little did I know he'd gotten up at 01:30 hours to go run his boat and go pull sand shrimp. He goes, yeah, I just get done with my shrimpies. I'll just meet you at the boat at like 9:00. I'm like, wow, okay. You know, so he got off the shrimp boat, onto the crab boat, and off he goes. So
remember pumping sand shrimp when we were younger?
Absolutely. I still got my clamp.
I still got the pump at home, you know, and it'd be brutal. You know, go out and pump some shrimp, just enough to fill a cooler. We'd go to the coast for 3-4 days. But Joe pumps like 18 million of them a night. I'm like, how's that even possible? You know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean, we used to take I still have my Rusty Coleman Red Lantern that he used to take out there. And you'd warm your hands. And,
You know, it would always be miserable.
It would be. Yeah, 100%. But that was back in the day where you could take a cooler of sand shrimp out to the coast and get, like, free restaurants and rooms.
Oh, for sure.
Nobody had them out
no,
there.
No, for sure.
You know? So that was,
trade
that was
and
so
barter.
Cool. Then we do have some clarity with regard to our Marine Area 10 fishery.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that, you know, most of the advisors that I talk to, and indeed you guys listening, texted us last week, and this really isn't what we wanted, but this is what we're going to get. We are going to have a January 1st opening in Marine Area 10 with a 2-fish limit, which is absolutely brain dead to me. I don't know.
I don't understand the 2-fish limit. So I read through everything last night and said, you know, our data doesn't present any difference really between a 2-fish limit and a 1-fish limit. I'm like, okay, I don't know what data you're looking at, but we should get some clarification on that, because it sure seems to me that we should go with a 1-fish limit and spread this thing out over a while.
Yeah,
but that's my opinion.
That's kind of where I'm at too. Is let's have more days on the water. And obviously we were pushing for kind of something in February, kind of get us more into that, at least the thought of the springtime window a little bit. But we'll see. There's going to be a little more talk with regard to Marine Area 10, but it's nice to be actually talking about a few steelhead in a river and knowing that in a short span of time, you know, we're going to be running the downrigger balls and the Raymarine electronics and getting out there and go get some fresh blackmouth on the grill. That's not going to be terrible.
Also talked to David Dietrich, Adventure Angling down at Tacoma. We have him here on the radio show all the time. He's been roping the resident silvers and the sea run cuts down the South Sound. Extremely clear water. He said it's gin clear down there right now. It's a totally different fishery than the summertime, but he's been doing very well on sea run cutties and resident silvers down there in the South End, using tiny little stuff, like size 16s and 12s and 14s and 20s and all kinds of tiny little stuff.
Little stuff.
Little scuds.
Scuds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So
does he ever do bad? I mean, David's always pretty tuned in when it
I don't think he has too many bad days.
No.
Yeah, he's kind of like Nelly here. Just not too many bad days there. Also,
what's the point?
Razor clamming. This next dig is your last chance for this bonus limit. It's going to go from the 20 clam limit that we've seen all fall down to 15 starting on the 30th. So we've got a dig coming up the 15th to the 23rd. get your rear ends out there and get some extra clams while the getting's good, so, because it's going to go back to normal here.
And don't think that you're not being watched while you're digging clams.
Believe me. Yeah. Don't come back and change your clothes and head back out.
Don't do it because they have this deal on Tuesday in Monsanto called Clam Court. Okay.
Clam Court.
And if you get a ticket, you got to come. It's a mandatory appearance.
Yeah.
And the
embarrassment alone.
Oh,
is,
yeah. Yeah. Well, and just the amount of people that are in there and the type of people that end up in Clam Court is not really who you or where you want to be hanging out.
I knew somebody that had a plane. And he would fly up and down the coast and land the plane out there and pop a bunch of clams, roar off and go down to the next beach. There goes another limit of clams. Yeah. And he'd have four limits of clams on four different beaches, and off he'd go in his Cessna. That didn't last too long.
No, but, you know, and I personally haven't been to Clam Court, but we all
you
have
heard.
A
not
friend.
Yet.
No. Yeah. But we have a friend that did, and he's got a couple great stories. So
I have a funny story.
A gentleman?
I won't tell you his name, but... Okay. He may have went out and dug a limit of clams, went home, like you said, changed his clothes, went back out there, dug another limit, had his dog with him, didn't think that the game warden's like,
same dog,
followed him home,
oh, and they
bang,
got
him.
The spotting scopes. I mean, he could read the name on the dog's collar.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Didn't even think about it. Same dog out there, got busted.
It's not worth it. Anyway,
no,
but
they're clams.
And then, you know, I'm always looking for news stories, you know?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I get this crazy story from Saudi Arabia. You know, they have camel beauty contests in Saudi Arabia. Dude, there is nothing to do in Saudi Arabia.
You cut me off talking about the winter solstice, and you're going to a camel contest?
No, this is hilarious. So these guys get busted for doctoring up their camels, like Botox injections and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, muscle implants. They get kicked out of the camel beauty contest. Tom, I figured you'd be all over this, Tom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. I got the 2021 Steelhead plant stats. Give us 90 seconds. Load up that text toy, 206-421-3776, Steely Plant Stats, and no more camel talk here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
From the shining shores of Puget Sound to your radio, this is the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.
We're in double figures in December. Okay, it's the 11th, all right? So
it
definitely Christmas.
Let it breathe, Tom. Right, let it breathe.
Okay.
Thank you. Can you pass the schnapps, please?
Ooh, schnapps.
Yeah, hot cocoa over here.
How about Kahlua and Bailey's, a little bit of cream.
And
right?
Nothing else.
And, yeah,
just
that's
Kahlua
it.
And
that's
Bailey's.
On ice. Yeah, that'll work. That will work. That may work just tonight. Welcome back to the Outdoor Line. 710 ESPN Seattle. Load up that text toy powered by Yamaha Outboards, 206-421-3776. The demise of the North Puget Sound Steelhead Hatchery Program is a little bit overstated. We're starting to get a little indication, especially with the opening of Tocall Creek this week, of some actual catchable numbers of winter steelhead in the Snohomish system, Joey.
I saw a picture of a limit from one of our
rotten,
creepy little
rotten
steelhead
guys, dirty
buddies.
Rotten.
Yeah. Yeah.
So generally, if we get a percent of the smolts back 1%, that's kind of what we get. I'm being optimistic and saying that the wonderful feeding conditions in the North Pacific Ocean have provided us 1.5%, okay? So if that happens, we got 107,000 smolts went in to the sky, an additional 74,000 went to the Tocall Creek, and another 24,000 went to the Wallace. So that's 133,000. So if we get 1.5% on that, that's almost 9,000 returning adult winter steelhead to just the mouth of the Snohomish River alone. That's worth strapping up the old hip boots, the old
breaking out the old steel shank,
hip boots,
and
the old army jacket,
yeah there
from
we go.
Jerry Surplus and Everett,
fingerless wool gloves.
Yeah, anybody got a Pips leader dispenser?
And the Pips leader,
of course.
Little cup of sand shrimp, and off you go.
The cool thing about the Skykomish in particular is there's lots of bank access on the Sky.
Yeah, I was a bona fide bank maggot.
Me too.
For years.
Yeah, stomping down it. Rolling on the Sultan and stomping on down to Jim's Rock down there. Remember, there used to be a freaking metal plate bolted on that rock. That was Jim's Rock down there. And, of course, across the other side, you got the Cracker Bar. And just they'll hold up there. A lot of fish will make that corner because the Sultan used to have a pretty good smolt plant, too. And so with the you know, the whole Wallace dumping in there, the Wallace Flats will hold fish. There was just fish holding that neck of the woods, and is to this day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Wallace has been probably the highlight up there. It sounds like the, you know, Reeder, they're catching a few. The Wallace had a couple really good days before, you know, the first day it was like there were 10 guys. And then they caught. They all caught
home
fish.
And tell two of their buddies.
Yeah, yeah. And then the next day there were over 50 guys
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
So the you know, catch per person effort goes effort, down.
Yeah. I still heard of about the same amount of numbers even on Sunday with
yep.
50 or 100 guys.
Yeah,
or whatever
exactly.
It was still about the same caught there as
yeah.
it was on Saturday when you got that good report.
Yeah.
But needless to say, you can wander on down the Wallace too, all the way down, you know, and catch them all the way through there. So you don't need to hang out with everybody. And same with Reeder Ponds. You can wander on down from there down to the cable hole and on down. So
Reeder in particular is just a big boulder rock garden. And I used to go up there with my quarter inch pencil lead and go, snag snap.
Yeah.
Snag snap. Yeah. And then
that's
some,
what steelhead fishing was.
It was.
Back in the
but then
days.
Some rotten kid showed up with a float. And started catching fish.
Oh, yeah.
And that wrecked it.
Yeah.
No, I mean, just the ability to keep that gear in the water using those floats.
Well, you just don't lose as much gear,
yeah.
You know? You're a lot of, like you said, snag, snap. You're spending a lot of your time tying on a new leader,
yeah.
Tying on new gear, running through your pips,
yeah.
You know, spending money. But now it's like, you know, and a lot of what they're doing now, it's they're bobber dogging or they're running those little soft beads.
Yeah.
Yeah, I talked to Sakamoto yesterday over Three Rivers Marine. He said, you know, that B&R tackle, the 10 mil or the 12 mil soft bead is just hot. Everybody's running those up there. And then a lot of guys will run a jig with a trailer, you know, a 12-inch mm-hmm. drop runner with a bead on that. And usually they hit the bead.
Yep.
Dirty water, clear water, whatever. Especially in clear water, the bead is just ridiculous.
Well, it used to be you were forced to fish a certain depth and current velocity. And with the adjustable, especially that BOMAC Easy Drifter float, man, you can adjust that thing, fish areas of current contrast, keep your gear on the seam. I mean, it's just a wonderfully efficient way to fish.
And you can just, you know, low-hole everybody.
Let it go. You can. Just
right on down the
just
river.
Just cork the crap out of everybody.
Yeah. I loved being up there as a kid, and, you know, you'd have these old-timers standing there whipping their drift gear way out. And I would just let my float go down right in front of them.
And
right at their feet.
Yeah.
They'd look up
damn kids.
Young whippersnapper. He's even
get off my lawn.
I'm that guy now when I see these guys. I'm up there with my shrimp and my bait. And I'm like, stupid kids and their dumb soft beads.
And they're catching fish.
Yeah, and they're roping them from under my feet.
Roll reversal.
Oh, I'll never forget the first time I saw a hot shot side planer. And it was at Reeder. And this guy got above the line of drifters and started working a plug down there.
Started roping steel.
Oh, man, people were
everybody.
Literally throwing rocks at him, right? Because, I mean, that thing just holds out in the current right there. And it works.
The preacher did it. The old-timer, when we were kids, he'd sit right there at the Hatchery Creek, and he had this crazy hat with all these pheasant feathers. They called him the preacher, and he would run his side planer out there with a hot shot and just plug the whole hole. Nobody
Everyone had a nickname, too.
Oh, preacher. They did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was – and you just – dude, you stand in the steelhead lineup and look up and down, and it was a cast of characters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like
there was always a guy named Summer, a guy named Winter. You had your booger and your corky and your flounder.
Yeah, there was a corky, and yes, there was a flounder, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, a lineup of old Western gunfighters, right? And everybody was pride on how fast they could, when they set the hook, whoosh, you know, you'd want to make the loudest buggy whip.
And there's always one guy who sets the hook like every two casts.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's setting the hook.
You never know. You never know.
You might just snag one in the side of the head.
You might just floss one up.
And then this all is followed by, missed him.
Missed him.
He just actually hit the bottom.
He did.
He had a
rock bite.
Yeah.
No question about it. All
Good
right.
Time.
So go steelhead, and you got 133,000 smolts coming back to the Snohomish system. You got an additional 89,000 smolts coming back to Kendall Creek facility there on the Nooksack.
Don't forget about the Stilly.
Don't forget about the Stilly. That's a strong plant. 82,000 smolts went into the North Fork of the Stilly. So, you know, dude, the Forts and Hole. That, you know, it there's a summer on plant in that creek too, and that ought to be decent. And then the Duwamish and the Green, you got a 66,000 coming back to Icy Creek. The Puyallup is getting 30,000 too. So not even close to historically what we saw as far as a winter steelhead program. But dude, if the ocean cuts us a doggone break and let some of these steelhead come back. There's, you know, there's going to be some
steelhead for Christmas.
There we go. Steelies for Christmas. All right. Tell you what. We've talked long enough. It's time for us to shut up and go to Caramel Macchiato himself, good old Jason Brooks. Jason Brooks, the Outdoor Line's Central Washington field editor, joining us next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome to the BOMAC Tech Line. BOMAC has all the gear for all your techniques, and SMI Shellfish gear is simply the best. BOMAC, we catch big fish.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. That's Joey Pyburn, Matt Nelson running the board back there. Rob Ansley to my left. I'm Tom Nelson. And on the phone, none other than Caramel Macchiato himself, Jason Brooks. What is happening,
good
Mr.
Morning.
Brooks? How are you, buddy?
Morning, Jason.
Morning, buddy.
Good morning, guys. Morning. Hey, morning, guys. Yeah, boy, I tell you what, a little wind, a little rain. Yeah, we should be out steelhead fishing, huh?
No.
Smallmish, whatever it is. Reader ponds, go out there and
find it feels about right. Historically, we tend to be miserable this time of year, whether we're steelheading, duck hunting, whatever, and we enjoy it. So, you know, why wouldn't we be out there? But we could also trailer the boat over to the east side if we could get over the pass with our boat, that is, and hit Lake Chelan for kokanee. It sounds like they're roping the kokanee over there, man. What's going on the east side?
Yeah, well, it's just getting going. You know, January, you know, is next month. So if you can't get over for the holidays, get over next month to Chelan. It starts really getting good, especially in January when it's a little more brighter out. You know, right now we get the dark days and stuff. And as we all know, kokanee are affected by the light because they're plankton eaters and those kinds of things. But yeah, people forget about Lake Chelan in the wintertime. It's almost, I don't want to say it's a secret because if people still do it or they write about it, they talk about it like I'm doing now. But for some reason, very few people actually do it. I don't know why. Maybe because of Lake Roosevelt and Austin Moser putting out 4.5-pound fish like last week. But that big kokanee, my goodness, little sockeye there. Yeah, so Chelan, you know, this next month, if you're bored, nothing to do, you can't go to the coast and go steelhead fishing, then grab your boat, bonsai over to Chelan, and catch some kokanee. At least get out on the water.
What's the drill over there, man? Is it I hear about guys trolling little flies behind Dodgers. I think it was a cocaboo fly or something like that over there. What are some
coconut.
Of the coconut fly? Yeah. Cocaboo.
Cocaboo.
That was a caribou rainbow fly. That
actually sounds like a winter cocktail to me. Yeah.
From Alaska.
That too. Yeah. So this fish, you know, the lake is a very big lake, and the fish actually move around. Treat it more like the ocean. And you know, when I was a kid growing up, and you'll be able to read all about this, by the way, my column from the January Northwest Sportsman, the Northwest Pursuits column. Detail it, break it down. So in the springtime, as a kid growing up, we'd always go to the lakeside with a rowboat because the fish were in shallow then, and we'd be able to go out there and catch kokanee. And then that was pretty much it as far as anybody in the locals knew. Well, then as years progressed and we got, you know, more people on the lake and more interest and those kinds of things, people would go out and search and find the kokanee. So all summer long, they'd be catching. And all of a sudden, about 20 years ago, Jeff Witowski, a good friend of mine, found him in the middle of winter. And nobody fished for kokanee in the middle of winter. Nobody. Well, he found them, and all he had to do is move up lake a little bit. So the biggest thing is to go find the fish is you have to hit up lake towards Greens Landing, Emerson Acres, Mitchell Creek area, and then use your standard kokanee gear. The guys have been doing really well, though, have been using the Sling Blade Dodger, a short leader to the coconut, a yellow coconut, which was a former Shasta tackle product now owned by Max Lure. But they're putting about a half-inch smile blade in front of it, a little pink sparkle smile blade or a tiger stripe smile blade in front of it. And then they tip the course, they tip the hooks with corn, and the basic way your corn is you want to make it to be a little tougher. So you put some Pro-Cure Killer Corn Magic on it the night before, brine it up, and then put some super gel, some bloody tuna or anisent on there, your typical kokanee stuff, and troll really slow.
What's the level of
Go ahead.
What's the level of the lake right now? Can guys get their boats in at 25 mile, or are they having to launch out of Manson?
Thank you, Drew, for asking that. So I actually talked to my dad last week. They've only dropped it 3 feet. But I should talk to my brother, who's the head of the water department. He would definitely know the lake level, but you can get on the website. And you think we're talking to him about fishing, but you can get on the website. They'll find it. They've only dropped it 3 feet, so, yeah, you still can. The biggest thing right now is going to be ice. They just had this storm they got some snow dumping in town. So you don't want to be back in a big, heavy boat down with some of those smaller launches, like at 25-mile creek especially. And that is a state park run, so make sure you call the state park, make sure they're even open, make sure they're even have the ramp available. But Mill Bay is always open, and that's the one that Joey's talking about in Manson. It's a big run up to Mitchell Creek area. So make sure you use a a boat that can be out there on the water when it turns bad or can do a quick run. This is not a small boat fishery because it's wintertime, and you have to run probably like 5-6 miles just to get up. You have to go around Wapa Point and all the way around, and you have to go through the narrows, and the narrows can be really, really choppy. And then when you come around the narrows, you hit what's called the straits, and that's where the wind's coming right out of the Cascade. So check the weather report. The weather report is huge. If it's going to be windy, don't go. One, you can't really fish for kokanee in that part of the lake in the wind because you're going to be blowing your boat way too fast. It's a slow, you know, fishery. It's like just like a sockeye. 1 mile an hour, 1.2 miles an hour. And then finding the fish really quick. I want to talk about that. To find the fish, you need to find the thermocline. And now they can talk a little more about the thermocline. These fish eat, you know, plankton, phytoplankton. And so they got to find where those, the feed is, but also where the water temperatures vary to make them comfortable. We were fishing about 80 to 120 feet down on average in 400 to 600 feet of water. Now that's a huge gap there, but you just have to go find the fish. They want that thermocline. So as you get shallower, the thermocline might change. You know, Nelly can probably explain a little more about that. But that's that fishery. And what's interesting is you'll go out there and you might have one or two other boats around you. You're not going to have the plethora of boats like you do in the spring and the summertime. And you definitely won't have the jet skiers and water skiers messing up your troll either.
We're talking with the head of the brother of the head of the Chelan Water Department, Jason Brooks, this morning. He also He also writes a little bit, yeah, and particularly for Northwest Sportsman Magazine. But before we transition in, honey, I want to dig into a little bit of what you said. The concept of the thermocline is something that every angler, salt or fresh, needs to understand. Also, need to know how to recognize it on your marine electronics, Jason. And one of the ways it presents itself is in a cloud line or some kind of a line in the middle of the water column that, you know, what is that? When we see that in the ocean, they refer to it as a deep scattering layer. In Puget Sound, we have some strong mixing and you don't always see it, but it always coincides with some type of shrimp life. In Puget Sound, it's krill. In Chelan, it's freshwater shrimp. But that's that line, that thermocline, that layer that represents temperature and to no small extent, salinity contrast. That's the area you really want to focus on running that kokanee, for kokanee in particular in Chelan. But what depths are you finding that at? Did you say somewhere around 80 feet this time of year, Jason?
80 to 120 is where you're going to be at on the downrigger cable. And keep in mind, you're fishing between 400 and 600 feet of water.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that's why, you know, Chelan is like an ocean. People don't realize. Turn that corner and look up lake, and you have to realize you still have, you know, almost 25 to 30 miles of water to go before you get to the end of the lake.
Yeah, what kind of hunting ops you got for us, buddy? You've been on a tear this fall. He haven't been home since September.
He uses his kids for extra. Like, he's like, I'm going to have kids, and they're going to have tags, and I'm going to use them.
Yeah, you guys have been all over the place, and congrats to you, by the way, too, for getting those kids out and having such a great fall. But what's going on, man? What we got on the radar screen here coming up?
Well, I say this sheepishly because Joey's probably going to smack me upside the head, but Ryan and I are heading to Idaho in 2 weeks for a cow elk hunt.
Nice.
We both have tags. Both my son and I have tags, not just Ryan. And to clarify for the listeners, when Joey means that, it means I'm the meat packer. Ryan does all the trigger pulling. Yeah. I just get to pack the meat. So real quick on it, we were in Idaho 2 weeks ago, and we were hunting this plot, and this local guy told us where to go, this and that and everything. Well, of course not. We go way down the deepest, darkest hole to get down there, and it's the last afternoon. It's any deer tag, and Ryan's like, Dad, I'll take a meat deer. And so that's where he gets his deer, and we hike it all the way back up the truck, and there's the local guy standing there at the truck talking with Ryan, because Ryan beat me back. He's only 16. And so I get back there, and they start giving me a bunch of grief about being taken so long. Well, I was packing the whole deer. I was like, wait a minute here. So it's not all fun and games,
no,
people.
It's not all fun and games.
But no, blacktails right now. We still have some late archery blacktail opportunities. In fact, Ryan and I are heading out tomorrow morning. We go today, but he's got a wrestling match, the Vikes. And so we're going to go out tomorrow in this snowstorm up in the Cascades. He wants to hunt blacktails in the snow really bad with his bow. So yay, I get to go endure this weather and go chase around some blacktails. You also have some muzzleloader seasons that are still going on. You know, it's not too late for those who have the multi-season tag. tag, or if you decide to go archery or muzzleloader this year, with this weather, with the temperatures dropping, with the snow, you guys know blacktails, they need those calories now. They're going to be out a little more. You can actually see through the alders because all the leaves are off. It's a great time to get out and fill those last tags that you might still have in your pocket.
Are you going to hunt the snow line, or where are you going to find these blacktails at? Because they're not rutting now. They're in the post rut, and they could be a little lazy too right now. How are you going to find these things?
Actually, I'm going to look for alder patches. Mm-hmm. What I found for me, and I'm not an expert on blacktails by any means at all, but just the fact that I've been over in the Southern Mountains now for 26 years and play with them, is when it gets this late in the season, I look for the alder patches. It seems like they really like to go in there and eat those buds this time of year, and they'll lay down in them. And so I really look for alder patches. Now, as far as the snow line goes, he really wants to get up and hunt in the snow. So I'm kind of being dictated by Ryan, who really is like, hey, Dad, I just want to archery hunt in snow. I want to find a, if I want to stick one, find a blood trail, I want to get it, do the whole experience. So it's one of those things like, okay, so we're going to be hunting in the snow, but we're going to be going up to an area that basically these deer live in this area year round. This is not too high of elevation. The snow level is supposed to drop tonight, so we'll get some fresh snow before morning and find their fresh tracks. Blacktails, the one thing I do know about them from talking to lots of biologists, blacktails live in very small areas. So if you find fresh sign, it's time to slow down the hunt and start looking for that deer. They actually did a colored study, a study of colored does down in Southwest Washington years ago. They've got one going on now in Bucks. But one doe lived in 40 acres for an entire year. Now, they on average live like 260-some acres. But still, you're still talking a very small area. And so if you still hunt in there, and I look for the alder patches, I like those little cuts with a bench in them that's got, basically protected from the wind, and it's got an alder patch and all this glass. I actually like mule deer at that point. I just glass until I find the deer.
I'll tell you what, man. I just talked to a buddy who was out last weekend, him and his wife. She still had a tag. And these bucks, they're post-rut right now, but take a set of rattling antlers with you. Because they may be bedded down somewhere, and if you find fresh tracks, you do a little rattling, and they'll get up, it'll kind of spark something in them, and they'll come in to check it out.
He rattled a couple cranker blacktails doing that, actually. One was a giant one. I've never had any luck rattling, but it might be worth it, man. You never know. It might work.
Great idea. Yeah, we tried that in Idaho, but like Montana this year, the wind decided to play with us, and rattling doesn't work too well in the wind. Because you can't, I'd be 20 feet away from Ryan, he'd be ranking those things, antlers, I'm like, I don't even hear it, dude. So hopefully this windstorm we have tonight dies down, but Joey, that's a great idea. I definitely have a set, we're going to go give it a try, and I'll have my camera along with me. I do have an archery tag still, so I might, or actually have a multi-season, but I might decide, I've already got enough fantasy, though.
Okay, well, listen, I gave you the tip, so I require half of the deer. I get half of the meat.
No, Joey just wants a backstrap, dude. Mm-hmm. That's all he wants.
Yeah.
So Jason, you write for Northwest Sportsman Magazine, and I just want to take this opportunity really quick to recognize the contribution that Andy Walgamott has made to the conversation surrounding the Wildlife Commission the last couple weeks here, particularly with Commissioner Fred Koontz and Lorna Smith, their recent appointments, and really the disturbance that's resulted in, and really the destructive disturbance that's resulted in. It's cost folks their spring bear season and some other opportunities. So I'll just let you free spool on that for a minute or two.
Yeah, the one thing, I've known Andy for, a long time now, 20 years or so, and he's the most humble guy there is. Honestly, he won't give you his opinion. He'll give you the facts.
Yeah,
that's very
bingo.
Hard to find, especially in the media today. And, if anybody who wants a taste of it, just jump on their Facebook page or jump on their website and read his blogs. This guy is all over Wolf News. You want to know anything about wolves in Washington, read his blog just on Wolf News, and you'll actually get fair, real information, no bias. Like I said, he's the most humble guy there is, and he calls it as he sees it, but he also threads that needle. He talks about some of the comments that were made regarding these recent seasons you're talking about, and the open forum they just had that extended by 2 hours because there's so many people calling in and giving their opinion. But he also talks about the commissioners, and he gives their viewpoint. So it's the most accurate and honest, outdoor media news or any news out there. I wish this guy would work for a major news organization so we can actually figure out what's going on in this country. But, yeah, Andy's a terrific guy and a great, great source.
Yeah, jump on Northwest Sportsman Magazine. Andy Walgamott does a great job. So does Jason Carmel Macchiato Brooks. Salmon Steelhead Journal, Northwest Sportsman Magazine. Just you'll find his bylines.
Hunting Journal. Yep, Andy Outdoor Line. Don't forget the Outdoor Line blogs.
What? Right, I never heard of that outfit.
Good luck out there tomorrow, man, and send us some pictures tomorrow so we can live vicariously. So, yep,
yeah,
thanks for jumping on, brother. Have a great weekend, man.
You too. Take
Happy
care,
holidays. CJ,
so bye. Happy holidays, yep.
Thanks, Jace. Coming up next, Raymarine Picks of the Week right here for the 11th of December here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome to the Outdoor Line Picks of the Week, presented by Raymarine Electronics. Don't just go fishing, go hunting underwater. Raymarine, simply superior.
Head over to raymarine.com. You're going to find the best in multifunction navigational displays, both fluid touch and hybrid touch. Raymarine Navigation puts you in command with speed and simplicity of our Lighthouse operating systems. Go check them out and more at raymarine.com.
Actually got some steelhead opportunity here. It's kind of fun to be actually talking about steelhead this time of year.
Blackmouth.
Last couple of years.
Blackmouth.
Well, we got blackmouth coming up,
blackmouth,
too. That's going to open the 1st of
blackmouth
January. But right now you can go out and actually have a great shot of catching a steelhead, Snoqualmie, Upper Skykomish, particularly around the Wallace and Reeder ponds. Talked to Tom Sakamoto of Three Rivers Marine yesterday, and he's like, yeah, there's some fish coming out of both of those areas, and the Skykomish as well, and the Snoqualmie right in front of Tokel. I believe they've got about 170 fish back to Tokel Creek Hatchery now, which is actually, last year they had like 5
or
something. The last couple of years have been really tough in there. So something positive is going on out there in the ocean, and hopefully that translates to our wild runs and everything else out on the coast and the Skagit River and everywhere else. Get us some steelhead back, but that's a great opportunity right now. We did pull the flows on the Bogoschiel River this morning.
Don't
looks
go
like
there.
One of Elon Musk's SpaceX ships going up into outer space right now. So that's probably, you know, not going to happen here for a few days.
So
but
we actually looked at this. So the bogey went up 5 vertical feet in 6 hours. I mean, it's this. You want to fish the other side of that curve. You don't want to fish a rising river, fish a falling river, and then you're going to do well.
Yeah, so at least on the local front here, got some steelhead ops. And on the back side of this high water, it should be pretty good there. Also, we talked a little bit last week about the Upper Skagit Dolly fishery. I pulled up the flows yesterday. I had a couple guys ping me about this. It's very fishable up there right now. The Cascade is going back up. It is closed, folks, but what happens when that punches out? It pumps a bunch of mud into that upper river, so it can be a little difficult. But the flows are dialed up there on the Upper Skagit right now. If you want to get up there and give that a try, dead drift and egg patterns or flesh flies. And don't be afraid to strip those flesh flies back in when you swing them through. Bring your 5-weight up there. Stay away from the chums. Obviously, you don't want to wrestle with a chum on a 5-weight anyways. But swing those flesh flies through and then strip them back. They look like a little whitefish swimming back up, and those dollies will just rope them.
Fun.
Oh, it's so fun, and you can get some big dollies up there. I mean, 7, 8, 9 pounders even, you know. It's a fun thing to do this time of year. So nobody up there either. It's really quiet.
There isn't. So way back when, I had a friend that was in when it was legal to keep them.
You had a friend?
I had a friend.
Okay.
I had a friend. That
tell us about the friend.
It was legal.
What was his nickname?
Betty.
Betty.
Betty. His name was Timmy, but we always called him Betty. You know,
Betty White?
No. Yeah, he wanted to keep one of these dollies, all right? And we caught it. We were steelhead fishing, drifting eggs. You know how your eggs wash out, and eventually there's a little bit of white, and we toss behind a log jam.
You don't want to eat them this time of year.
Gosh, no.
No.
And
no.
So yeah, I go, no, you don't want to
eat. Betty, what are you doing, Betty?
Betty, what are you doing? So I get the boat on the trailer, and he kept this dolly, and he was down there. All of a sudden, he's down on the ramp puking. I go, what is he?
He's cleaning all the rotting flesh out of this dolly.
They're plugged with dead coho and chinook.
So all these spawn and carcasses wash up on the top of these log jams, and then there's little bits of flesh that blow off them in the bed. And that's what the dollies do. They'll sit and gorge on that stuff. And if you are dumb enough to open them up, the smell that comes out of these dollies can only really not even be described. Yeah, it'll knock a bug.
Oh, Betty, what are we going to do
Betty,
with you?
Betty.
Well, let that be your lesson, Nelly.
There we go.
Sea Run Cuts on the South Sound. Talk to David Dietrich down there. You know, we're driving through Purdy all the time, and there's always guys down there on the spit, and I see folks driving around all the time with their fly rod strapped on top of the cars. There's a bunch of folks that they're kind of like steelhead fishermen. They're creeping around down there catching cutties, something to do this time of year. So that's going on down there. Sounds like it's pretty good. Razor clams, this is your last chance for this bonus lemon here up on this next round of digs, December 15th through the 23rd on the coast. Last chance for 20 clam limit. It's going to drop down to 15 starting on the 30th. So the last 2 days of the season here, you're going to go back to 15. Crabbing, you guys murdered the crab out of Everett this week. Dave Johnson, Kitsap Marina, daily pictures of limits of crab coming out of Marine Area 10 down there.
They're yummy.
Great opportunity.
Delicious.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, just absolutely phenomenal. They're so full of meat because the aforementioned carcasses that have been in the aforementioned streams are dumping all that nutrient load down the river mouths. And
crab don't stink when you open them.
No, they don't. They're good at digesting that stuff for sure.
And if you've got waterfowl carcasses, which a bunch of people may have this weekend, because snow geese just opened today again up on the north end and the east side, too, for that matter. It's going to blow 60, but that's fine. What's new?
Yeah.
You know,
it's derby
it's
weather.
It's an opener.
It's derby weather. Yeah.
But we got some great options. If you look at the weather forecast, pull up Moses Lake, Tri-Cities, potholes. It's perfect on the east side right now for waterfowl. We finally got some cold weather to maybe shove some northerns down. There hasn't been many northerns on the east side. But this could do it. This next week could do it. Last week was pretty good. I talked to Shelby yesterday over the duck taxi. He said it was pretty good. A mix of ducks, not all mallards, but a pretty good mix of ducks and good shooting over there. So I think it's going to carry right on into this week. Kokanee, Lake Roosevelt, Lake Chelan, and, of course, Triploids on Rufus Woods. That'd be a great opportunity.
Who's going to give us the rundown on that is Austin Mosier, top of the next hour. But before we do that, we got the text toy powered by Yamaha, 206-421-3776, has a question for Joseph Pibernicus III. Good morning, Joey. Can you go over the sand shrimp setup for steelhead in detail? Thanks.
Well, drift gear, if you're going to be drifting, I like to run a very small spinning glow or a corky, right? And then with your egg loop, just put I like to run the small sand shrimp, not the big guys. Depending on the water color, if the water's mudded up a little bit, you maybe go with a bigger shrimp. Hook that sucker on there, cast it out, drift it through. The other setup you can run is I like to run straight sand shrimp, couple beads under a float, and drift that through, or run sand shrimp on a jig.
Yeah, actually just a straight 18-count shrimp tail with an egg weight in front of it. So you got a little bit of weight. So you run your
Those Bomac
perfect
cheaters, weighted cheaters are money.
Back in the old days, we would take a lead shot from our slinky making stuff, and then you had to drill them out. So you'd drill through your fingers half the time. All my fingers were all screwed up from, and then we'd paint them.
And you had lead poisoning because you're
messing
with the lead
all the
time.
Well, I ate paint chips when I was a kid anyway, so that didn't really change anything. But Bomac now makes those cheater weights that are perfect for fishing eggs or sand shrimp on your float. So you run like a 3/4 ounce Bomac float, half ounce inline sinker, a little cheater weight in there, and you're dialed. And you can. You can run a nice little gob of eggs on there, or your little shrimp, you know, a little 18-count shrimp, Joe, and you're set. You know?
And if you're going to drift fish, I prefer to run slinkies over lead. You just seem to get, you know, you're not going to get snagged up as much.
Yeah, for sure.
The only time I really didn't like to use slinkies was when I was fishing some mixed sand stuff on the Skagit.
Because you couldn't feel anything.
Yeah.
But a spot like Reeder, those big boulders, that's a slinky show.
They'll just absolutely inhale stuff. How about the drag from Apple Cove Point on into Richmond, the ferry dock in there, man? It's almost time to get that freaking program.
Nelly's
on
Navionics.
Well, I just, you know,
tuning up his black mouth.
Looking at that drag and thing, we had some fun there, dude.
Yeah,
so we got this Area 10 black mouth opener coming January 1st, 3 days a week, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 2 fish limit. And they're going to monitor the heck out of this thing. Hopefully we can stretch out.
We have
the
way more encounters this year, and there should be just way more fish.
Yeah.
And so basically Area 10 starts anywhere from that the ferry crossing, basically, from Edmonds to the Richmond Ferry Dock there. And, we spend a little time down there messing around with the coho, too. But, you know, again, just getting close to the bottom on that the peninsula side of that drag. See, but the oil docks were good, too.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just a pile of bait that just always is there.
It's always hanging there. There's always herring down there.
Yeah, and then so from there on down to Jeff Head, it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. I wish this fishery was a little bit delayed, but we got time to talk about that. So, you know, we'll actually tear into that next week. This is Joey's last show of the year. He's going to be over fishing with our next guest this time next weekend.
Field correspondent.
It is.
Working. I'll be working with Austin Mosier.
You're competing with Jason Brooks now, so we better hear some caramel macchiato stuff coming out of you when you get back here. So, field correspondent Joey Pyburn.
Austin Boom Pow Mosier joining us from somewhere on either Rufus Woods or Roosevelt Reservoir coming next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.